I've tried in vain a thousand ways, my fears to quell, my hopes to raise. But what I need your word has said is ever only Jesus. You died, you live, you reign, you plead. There's love in all your words and deeds. This weary heart finds all it needs in ever only Jesus. I want to know you, Jesus my Lord, King of the heavens, King of my soul. I trade my treasures in all my rewards, Jesus, to know you, then know you more. Though some should curse me for your name, I have no fear, I have no shame. You stand with me for all my days, my ever only Jesus. I want to know you, Jesus my Lord, King of the heavens, King of my soul. I trade my treasures and all my rewards, Jesus, to know you, then know you more. Like wave after wave on the ocean, like all of the sand on the shore, your beauty and glory are endless. Oh, Jesus, I must know you more. Like wave after wave on the ocean, like all of the sand on the shore, your beauty and glory are endless. Oh, Jesus, I must know you more. I want to know you, Jesus, my Lord, King of the heavens, King of my soul. I trade my treasures and all my rewards, Jesus, to know you, then know you. To know you, then know you more.
Hallelujah. Jesus, to know you. That's a blessing. Jesus coming down to this wicked world for one purpose and one purpose only, that we may be partakers of his holiness. It's a lifelong journey when you become a born-again Christian. God creating you, God directing you in the path that he wants you to go. And it's not always easy, where we have to break our will, where we have to break our own ideas and put them aside. And Jesus is very gentle. He will never push you. He will just lead you. And that's the way he operates, is by his spirit. He will never get mad at you. He is a gentleman. He loves you. He loves me. And because he loves you, and to prove it that he loved you, he forsook heaven, his own glory in heaven, his own throne, and came down to this wicked world, knowing full well He will be despised, rejected, condemned by even his Father to save you and me, to have and be partakers of his holiness. And today I will show you in the Word of God, those of you who are struggling with your assurance, how God sees you as a born-again child of God. The devil will come and hamper you that you're not worthy, that God didn't really save you. Look what you are. You doubt. When you look at the 12 apostles, they were full of doubt. And God had to tell them, listen, guys, trust me. Jesus will help you. The devil will come and try to persuade you and make you to think. And you always remember, your brain, your mind is an open antenna. He gets free access, and you have to rebuke that. You have to make sure you know if it's the Lord or if it's an enemy. That's why it's so important to read this book. Paul the Apostle in Timothy said, study to show thyself approved unto God. How is he talking? What is he talking about? To tell you, approve to God. Show yourself. God approves of you. That's what he's talking about. And if we don't read the love letter, if we don't read the book, we will never find out. I can tell you, I can preach it to you, any preacher, Brother James, anyone, until you look for it and read this book. Devour it day and night. Like in the Old Testament, I devoured this law, meditate upon it day and night. Why did he say that? There was a reason for that. And in the New Testament, it's even more important, because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're not fighting against your own flesh. You fight against principalities and powers of darkness, spiritual wickedness that try to bring you down. The devil wants to bring us down. Always remember, it's always a continual battle until you get to know who you are in Christ. Then the devil doesn't stand a chance, even though he will try. Even though he will tell us, you're not really saved. Why would he bother saying that? Because he sees something there. Why would he bother stealing it if there's nothing there to steal? Right? Think about it. The devil knows who we are. He knows exactly what's in there. He knows exactly why you're born again or not. And if he sees it, he'll try to steal it, and then he wants to kill you, and he wants to destroy you. But he can't, because Jesus is our protection. You belong to Jesus. He will uplift you. He will hold you in his arms, and no one can plug you out of his hands. He is a mighty God. He loves you. And today in the message I want to preach is a message of encouragement. First, I want to show you and preach to you how God's people from the Old Testament into the New, how God operated when they did something wrong. And he can never hear a reproof in the Old Testament when they did something. And we can talk about it, and it's awesome how God sees you. And before we get into this message, let's rise up and ask the Lord for blessing. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you for your precious blood that you shed for us so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus, thank you. I ask you to bless me with the message. Bless the listeners to hear what the Spirit has to say, a letter of encouragement. I ask you to bless this day, bless this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When we go into the Old Testament, when we read about Abraham, everybody probably read about it when he sojourned in Canaan and then he traveled to Egypt. And there's a story in there, you know, the guy is awesome, but the thing is, he protected his own life about Sarah. He was lying. You tell that guy, you're my sister. He was thinking of his own body, you know. He figured, hey, he didn't want to kill me. You say you're my sister, so don't kill me. He's selfish. Come on. Think about it. Going into somewhere, hey, honey, don't tell me you're my wife. Just in case they kill me for you. Think about it. And that's what he did. It's amazing. And we're going to read about it. And God never reproved them. He was God's own child. God never reproved him for one of that thing because it's a lifelong journey. Just like the song says, he's still working on me, makes me what I ought to be, right? And it's a lifelong process. God sees you as a finished product. But he who has begun a good work in you and me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He'll never give up on you. The devil wants you to give up, but Jesus never will give up. Let's read in Abraham's life. In Genesis 12, 11, 12, and 13, I will show it to you. 11. And it came to pass when he came near to Egypt, into Egypt, that she said unto Sarah his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is my wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with thee. Now, sorry, that they would be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. The guy, he had nothing, he was scared, you know, he didn't trust in the Lord. He figured, hey, I'm scared. I mean, and first of all, I don't think God allowed him to go in there, but he went there anyways. But the thing is, he lied. He said, you're my sister. In a sense, she was her sister, but that's not why the reason he said that. Because he was scared they're going to kill him, never mind her. He didn't care about her. He said, you're going to save my life. This is me. Don't kill me. So always remember, when the Lord calls you and you are his own, he will work on you. Why didn't God reprove him? Come on, those who are struggling. Why didn't we read that God never reproved him for what he was doing? We read there's another incident, verse 17, sorry. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh. He didn't plague Abraham for lying. He plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Do you see how God protects his own? Why didn't he? Abraham is the one that really lied. Why didn't he say, Abraham, listen, buddy, you're the one that sinned, not this guy. But God called Abraham. He was his child. Said, this is my business. I will clean him. I will direct him. I will show him the way he should go. And it took till he was 99 years old. And he said, Abraham, now you're perfect. It took him that long. Think about it. When God is finished with you and you say, now you're perfect in your walk, then it's a different story. Let's turn to Genesis 20, where he did another incident like that. It's just to set up the message, what I'm trying to show you. It's not part of a message, but it's something to show you what people of God, his church, is doing. Sometimes we do things that are displeasing to the Lord and say, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. He was lying again there. Read the scriptures. It will take me too long to read everything. It says he was lying that she was his wife. And that was in the Philistines. And Abimelech, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Could you imagine God rebuking him? But at the same time, God protected Abimelech because of the integrity of his heart. He didn't know. But Abraham, he said, here is the deal. If you don't give her back her wife, let Abraham pray for you, and I will heal you. Here we see Abraham is the one that was the guilty one, right? But God didn't see all different. He was a heathen. Abraham was a called of God and child of God. It's God's business to correct him, not him. I'll deal with him. It's my business. So that's why we have to remember, precious brethren, we need to get into the Word of God. The Word of God is very simple. When we turn to Jesus for salvation and live for him, in this world, he says, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. Now we see through Abraham what he did. But I'm going to show to you what God sees in his purchased possession when it comes to the child of God. We have to remember when the Lord saved you and me, he took every guilt away. He took every sin away. If there's someone coming to you and gives you a guilty conscience and condemns you, that's not the Lord. The Lord never condemns. He never gives you a guilty. God leads you. He will show you in his word where you can improve. He will show you gentle. And if it's a nagging spirit, if it's always bumping around you, always remember, it might be the enemy. When the Lord will rebuke and show you something in your life that you're doing wrong, he will show you in a gentle way, and you will see it. He will warn you, and he will guide you. That's why we need an open heart. That's why we need to dig into the Word of God. That's why it's so important to live for Jesus, because we have an enemy out there, the devil. He goes around seeking who he may devour. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care what you are, what credentials you have. He did the same with our Savior. He tempted him. In his weakness, he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. For 40 days, I read this morning, he tempted him. At the end, when it was finished, he tried to make him, because he got hungry, make the stones to become bread. Do this. Worship me. In his weakest spot. But what did he say? It is written. That's why the authority we have is through the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Ghost. We need to always remember, keep in mind, when you get out of bed in the morning, when you start out the day, dig in the Word of God. Get on your knees and ask God to protect you. Always start with the Lord. Always make sure that he gets number one in your life. Always remember he is worthy to be praised. Always remember that he's the one that gave his life for you. Don't ever forget it, that we are here because of him. We have no chance against the devil. We can't stand against the devil because we are no match. But the big brother, our big brother Jesus, comes along and he flees because he loves you. He is going to see safety, and he's going to protect us to the uttermost. Remember the story in Numbers. Excuse me. When Balak, the king of Moab, he saw the armies of Israel. You always remember, picture in your mind what that stands for. It's devil against God. Always remember, the Old Testament operated like that. It's demonic against the spiritual realm. And when Balak saw the armies of Israel, and the devil, he feared. He knew what's coming because he knew they're marching into the land of Canaan. He knew that. He's not stupid. He knows the word of God. And he called on Balaam, a false prophet, to curse Israel. Remember, we don't see it. If God would show to us what the devil is up to right now, you'll be floored. Because Jesus is our protection. He has an umbrella of protection over us through his precious blood. Always remember, we are vulnerable. That's why it's so important to come together as an assembly of one body, to pray and to preach for one another, to heal one another, to pray for one another. It's so important to stick together as one body, because there's an enemy out there. He wants to kill you. And when Balaam saw that, it was all about money and greed. Balaam, the devil, wanted to curse him. He had to do through somebody. So he called Balaam and said, come, there is a great number of people that came out of Egypt. They are too many for me. Come and curse them. And I said, oh boy. Balaam, the Lord says, hold it, buddy, don't go. Here's another thing. God warned him, don't go the first time. See, when God tells you once in the beginning, don't go, he means it. He didn't change his mind. Even though Balaam did go, that wasn't God's idea. He said, don't go. But through his greed, through his own idea, because he was seeing a whole pile of money, he figured, I can be rich. I'm going to go and curse them. And at three times of time, when the donkey stood in his way, or the angel of the Lord stood in his way, that even a donkey had to rebuke him. And then God told him, okay, I'll let you go. But you only speak what I tell you to speak. Nothing more, nothing less. And here he goes to Balaam, and Balaam, he had no choice, even though he was not a true Christian. God used him. For some reason or another, he did, because he was a sorcerer. He was not a good prophet. Don't ever think about it. But God uses who he was. He used a donkey, he can use Balaam. It doesn't matter to him, as long as he gets his message out. And remember when Balaam went to Moab, he came before Balak, and the Lord told him specifically, you do what I told him. And when we read, and we're going to go into the scriptures, I'm going to prove it to you. And Balaam, when he sacrifices on that mount, he saw the whole army of Israel, just parts of it. Balak was a little smart. I'll just show him a little bit. Maybe he can curse this part and leave the others. And at the time when Balaam saw the children of Israel, he looked at them and said, okay, here's the deal. Let's sacrifice. And let's go into the scriptures. Numbers 23, 8 and 9. It says, I'll start with 7. And he took up this parable and said, Balak the king of Moab had bought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come curse me, Jacob, and come defy Israel. This is still the same today. It hasn't changed. How shall I curse whom God had not cursed? How can the devil curse you and me? God bless you. Think about it. Or how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? That is strong words. Think, church, think. If you're struggling, if the devil is bombarding your mind, think of those words. These are words of Jesus. This is the word of God. And that's the way it is today. For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. They're going to be separate. They're God's people. And the nations, all the world, is against Israel unto this day. They hate Israel with a passion. You know why? They represent God. Even though they don't acknowledge Jesus, but they're God's chosen people. And God will protect them to the end. And always remember, God has spoken, he has said it, and he will not reverse it. Let's go to verse 18 of that same chapter. He says, and he took up this parable and said, rise up, Balak, another devil, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? That's God. He speaks his word. He leads you, and he blesses you and me. Behold, I received commandments to bless, and he had blessed, and I cannot reverse it. No devil in hell can reverse that blessing that God has bestowed upon us. It cannot be reversed. It cannot be taken back. God has said, I have blessed you. God says, I saved you, and he will not reverse it. Once you are born again by the Spirit of the living God, I don't care what you have done. God comes in there and saves you. You are forever his. You cannot reverse it. Its deal is done, sealed through the blood of Jesus. We can, regardless what you try to please God, how you try to please God, it's what God says. And then you accept it into your heart. You get born again by his Spirit. He takes the old spirit out. He puts his own spirit in there. And he had, now in verse 21, and he had not behold iniquity in Jacob. In Jacob, think about it. Now I'm gonna expound what Israel was. All the way out through Egypt, they were nothing but rebels, complainers. They didn't trust God. They didn't do anything that was right. They worshiped devils. They sacrificed unto devils. And God says, I found no iniquity in Jacob. I wonder why. I just wonder why. is because of the sacrifice they did for their sins. That was a down payment. Now in the New Testament, Jesus did that own sacrifice. Now God sees you. I find no iniquity in this church. Think about it. I do not see any sin or perverseness in my church because I have cleansed it. I have made it whole. We'll read about it. Neither had he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them, because Jesus is our righteousness. He is our Redeemer, and he is our champion and our warrior. God brought them out of Egypt. He had, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. There's no curse against this church. There's no devil can try all he wants. It bounces back because the seal of God is upon you through the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of promise. It's so awesome. Against neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what God hath wrought. God bought you. That's the Old Testament. And when you go into the New Testament, it's even more glorious. When God went to the cross of Calvary, before I go into the last part of the message, when he bled and died, when he gave his life to the soldiers, to devils, you can say, and God sacrificed, it was God's doing, but he used men to do it. He sacrificed him for you and for me. All that punishment that was supposed to be upon me, upon you, for our iniquity and for our sin that we ever did, he poured it upon Jesus. The stripes that he had to endure, think about it. This was metal with hooks on there. Think watching your child, you know he's going to be tortured. Whipping and pulling. Flesh came with it. The agony and the pain he had to endure. It would have taken 1 second just to do that. Lord, send a legion of angels and destroy them all. I can create a new generation. I can create new people. But why didn't he? The love that held them, the love that brought them to this wicked world, to set you and me free, when he bled and died there and was hooked to pieces. No one took his life, he gave his life. Always remember, if you and me would have to endure what he endured, we'd be dead instantly. But he gave it. It was a sacrifice that God sacrificed to save you. Always remember, when he went to the cruel cross, what really got me? You know how blood operates. They put a purple scarlet robe on him, totally torn into pieces. Think when blood starts drying up. It's the worst pain, and they ripped it off. Enough to break down. But God looked upon it, and then he said, don't worry. He watched him. And the most important part of it is when they nailed him to the cross. When he bled and died there, his father, his only begotten father, loving father, for so come 3 hours without the presence of God. Without God there, he was by himself. Cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Have you ever felt that? I have. Where you felt where God doesn't look around, you don't feel him. It's painful, but the pain he had to endure was much, much bigger because of our sin. He had to endure it all so that we might have that life and that life more abundantly. The devil cannot touch you, always remember, because of this sacrifice. because he did it, you're his child, and he will protect you. Let's turn to 1 John 3:8-9 for closing. It's very precious. I love you, Jesus. It says, he that committed sin is of the devil. Now always remember what he's still talking about. He's not talking about a Christian here. How do you have to realize what he is saying here? If you are not born again, you will do the works of the devil. That's all he's saying. You are the devil's child. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy what? The works of the devil. That's why he came. Now he, what did he do? He didn't finish that. He didn't stop there. Whosoever is born of God, if you're born again by the Spirit of the living God, does not commit sin. Now, Brother Steve, how can you say that? We sin, of course you do. Paul says, in me lie no good thing. But God looks at your spirit, this man, Jesus. He looks inside you, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see Steve, he doesn't see Brother James, he doesn't see you. He sees the perfect finished work of the cross in there. Does not commit sin because you have the Spirit of God within you. And that spirit cannot sin. It's as perfect as God himself. For this, for his seed, the seed of Jesus, the Spirit of the living God, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. There's a part in you and in me, that will never sin against God anymore. Because that old Adam is not there. Sure, we make mistakes. Sure, we sin. We do things. That's beside the point. That's why Abraham never was rebuked. That's why the children of Israel was not rebuked. Why? God saw through the finished work of the cross. He saw you perfect. He who has begun a good work in you will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. You are his forever. You might not look good today. You might make mistakes. But beside the point, God will finish the work in you. Don't let the devil bring you down, because Jesus loves you. And he will sustain you. He will keep you forever until he comes back. Someday we'll be with him in heaven. So the Lord bless you and make you a blessing. Thank you.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to Jesus and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to Jesus and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.